3 years ago, I was diagnosed with kidney. My daughter and my sons, I went in and ended up collapsing. And I kept complaining over 2 years about what was going on, but the doctors wouldn't listen. So I fell over and was rushed to the hospital, and they found it through bone scan and through a scan that identified the tumor. It metastasized in my bones as well in my kidneys. Mm. So my daughter, who's right there, and my son, I've always taught my children about God. They laid hands on me. And I'm telling you, the power of children when they pray is really, really powerful. My children were really upset. So I ended up going for surgery down in Vancouver and had a kidney and a half removed. And my kids and I, we would pray every night. And I went through chemotherapy, radiation, lost all my hair. Anyways, and there's some people that I've testified to here who've had cancer, and I kept saying, believe, believe, believe. Because I was healed and set free from bone cancer. I had it 4 hot spots, as well as kidney cancer. So we started to pray, and I was in and out of hospitals because of the fact I kept getting blood in my urine, low iron, things like that, that caused me to be sick all the time. So I just started to believe, and I put the healing scriptures, and I started to claim them all the time. I said, God, you're my healer. I know you can do this. I know you can set me free. And I just started to claim them, as well as my children. Mm-hmm. I have a 17-year-old boy, a 12-year-old boy, an 11-year-old daughter who pray for me all the time, as well as I pray for them. And we just started to claim it. Then I met my neighbor, and I was very sick. They were saying that the cancer had come back in the form of leukemia again last year. So I met him and Michael, who's now my husband, believe it or not. We give the new meaning to love thy neighbor very well.
That's a great line.
Anyways, so Michael, I asked him to pray for me. And we had met and we went for coffee a couple times, and he prayed for me. And I still started to claim healing. Well, one night he prayed really hard, and his heart was so fully in it. And the power of God felt like every bone in my body was broken, so I could take in all of him. And Michael can say the rest.
Yeah, the power of God was so present in that room that night. And so just laid hands on him. We just claimed that he'd just give her new kidneys. And then she went to the doctor, and she got x-rays. And a couple days later, she went back to the doctor and said she's having these phantom pains in her back. And he said, those aren't phantom pains. So you have 2 brand new functioning, fully functioning kidneys. So he was quite amazed, not amazed enough to accept the Lord, but he's going to do an article on her in the medical journal. And he's let all the other doctors in town know that she's quite unique. And but now she's having other issues that we're going to ask for prayer for now. She's been almost died this week from blood loss, and she needs a hysterectomy on next Thursday. And she lost her baby, and she really wants one bad and doesn't want to lose her uterus, but looks like that's what's going to happen unless God intervenes. So we're needing more miracles.
We're going to pray for you. And I think that's a powerful story. Isn't that a powerful story? And you know, sometimes the enemy attacks us in different ways, and sometimes I've experienced this before in the past, that some people, it just seems like it's always physical body stuff, healings that need to happen. It just seems like that's the case for you, you know, that when it's not one thing, then it's another. When it's not the bones, then it's the kidneys, and now it's... No, that's right. But you know what? God has healed you, and he's done that for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is so that we could hear the testimony today, and that we could give him praise and glory. And we're going to pray for you, and, you know, we're going to just pray for God to heal you. And God can heal in lots of different ways, and I think we need to let God be God in that. But I wonder if Jill, if you'd like to come up, and maybe Crystal, and Andy, would you come up and pray too? Let's have the 4 of us pray over you. And as a congregation, as a body that loves you guys, we want to just ask God to just to protect you and to care for you and to heal you. Right, we believe in healing, so let's start praying for them. And while we're praying, you pray with us. Let's join our faith together. Amen? Join our faith together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes, God.
Yes, hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Right now, Jesus.
We thank you with your presence, Lord, that breaks every yoke.
That's right.
We breathe on you, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we breathe on you, the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that you would bless Cheryl's body right now. Father, we acknowledge that you have called this vessel for your service,
Amen.
Lord. Father, we acknowledge that the enemy has sought to destroy your daughter,
That's
God.
Right.
And we come against these attacks in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. And may the healing power of the living God come upon you, Cheryl, right now.
Yeah.
And Father, we confess our love for Cheryl right now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we thank you for the awesome things that you're going to do in and through her and Michael. Yes, Father, we bless their calling.
Yes,
we bless your anointing upon them. Father, we acknowledge that all things are from you, and we give
Hallelujah.
You the glory,
Hallelujah.
The honor, and the praise, and
yes,
the power,
God,
in
Jesus.
The mighty name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
You are Son. Powerful, God.
You are powerful, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise.
Jesus.
Oh, yes, God. Thank you for
praise
your
presence. Jesus. Amen. Oh. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Lord, you have made women, Lord. You've given us wombs.
Yes, God.
To have children, Lord. That's a gift from you. And God, that is your gift. And we just pray, we just lift that up to you right
yes,
now, God.
God,
that you will touch that womb, Father, that you will heal her, Father, and that you will give her a child.
And Lord,
I know that this week you've just impressed on me, God, that it's your love that heals.
Amen.
And God, so right now I just pray that you will fill her.
Yeah.
Fill her with your love, God.
Yeah.
That your love will heal her. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Ricky, do you have a word?
Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So, he doesn't say we don't go through rivers. He doesn't say we shall not be tested, but it cannot burn us. Never. And the flame shall not kindle upon thee. So, he walks through that with him.
Be okay if I invited Mitchell forward. I just really sensed that Mitchell was supposed to come as well.
Okay. I'm happy for that.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, yes, God.
Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ,
yes, God.
We cast the spirit of infirmity out of this body.
Yes,
to the footstool of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
it is not from you. Satan, you are bound and we cast you out. Whatever right you had, we take it through the blood of Jesus back. And Father, I just speak healing,
yes,
wholeness, and whatever has been damaged in this body to be totally healed.
Yes,
everything in this body.
Jesus precious.
And Father,
yes,
we give you all the praise and all the glory. You provided this freely for Cheryl
yes.
on the cross.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we receive it freely now for her.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I speak strength into her body.
Yes, God.
Lord, I thank you that you're going to use her as a mighty testimony,
yes,
as you already have, Lord,
yes,
but even
God.
More so.
Yes,
and Lord, I thank you that we're going to hear the good report of her new child.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we give you all the glory.
All glories.
In
all
Jesus'
glory.
Name, Lord, thank you for
Amen.
Giving her that new womb.
Yes, God.
And Father, I thank you, Lord, that she won't ever have cancer again in this
yes,
body.
God. No
in
more.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. He heals me. He heals me. He heals me. He heals me. He's so good to me. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. You say amen? Wow. Thank you, God. And you know, this is not magic. There's a difference between magic and miracles, and faith in the world is that, you know, we do this out of obedience. And we may not do it exactly the way, you know, we do it the best way we can, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We just trust God. The Bible says that if someone's in need, we should pray for them. That leaders and people who know God and who are spiritually mature should lay hands and maybe even anoint with oil. Maybe someone will do that after the service yet. I think that's maybe something that needs to be done too. And then we pray for one another, and that when we do that, we trust God that he's a God who heals, and he's a God who can do great things. And we've seen those great things over and over again, and we should not doubt that God can continue to do what he's been doing. Surely, if God can restore a kidney and a half, you know, he can do what we prayed for this morning, right? So we want to see the power of God, but we also understand that it's not magic. There's no magic wand. There's a God. We're talking about a God, and it's about a relationship that we have with a God who says, I want you to be whole in every way. And you've got a great story. It's amazing what God's done in your life, Cheryl. And this isn't just a one-time prayer. I think what we need to also do is commit ourselves to continue to pray for you and your family. Praise God, Doreen. There's great healing, isn't there? Thank you. We're going to open God's Word. It's really important that we continue to be a church that's built on the rock of the Word of God. God's Word teaches us exactly how we ought to live and what truth is. And so, you know, we've been talking, I just want to give you a little context. Last week, that passage out of Corinthians where it says that whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. You might remember that we talked about that last week, that, you know, when we turn to God, it's like that suddenly we get to see things and things we never recognized before. Suddenly there's the Holy Spirit that's working in our lives, and there's clarity where there wasn't clarity before. And Paul uses that example of a veil. He says the old way and the old covenant and the law, whenever we look through that law, there's like a veil. There's a blind in the way. But Jesus has removed that blind, and whenever anyone, I like that word, turns, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that's really a conversion. You're doing a complete turnaround, and you're going a different way than you were before. Whenever that happens in your life, it's like the veil has been removed, and suddenly you can see things that you never saw before. Suddenly God is real, and love is real, and there's a movement of God's Spirit, and the church is alive. Amen? So on that subject, you know, I think God's been working in my heart about that subject of seeing God. You know, how do we see Jesus? How do we recognize Jesus for who he is? Are our eyes open to see this living Lord, this King, this Jesus? Is the veil removed? Is the veil really removed? Because you know what? I want to see Jesus. We talked last week about the glory of God. And how the glory of God is everywhere, but we're not seeing it because we're so easily distracted. And there's so many other things that are filling our vision. But the Bible says that, you know, Jesus actually said this to Martha when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, if you will just have faith, you'll see the glory of God. Amen? If you'll only believe, if you'll just have faith, you'll see the glory of God. So God led me to this passage, a story about Zacchaeus today. I thought it was a great example of just a guy who got to see Jesus. And it's not going to be, you know, there's only going to be so much that's going to set. I'm going to talk about it again next week too. But it's such a great story. So turn with me today in Luke chapter 19. We're going to at least begin with this today. Luke 19, Zacchaeus the tax collector. What an amazing story about a guy who encounters, who sees Jesus, who recognizes the glory of God in Jesus, who is the glory of God, right? Jesus is the glory of God. I'm going to read these words. So Jesus, this is Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. You say amen? Is that God's word? Is that the truth? The Son of Man, this is one of the most astounding statements that Jesus makes, and it's kind of pivotal to his whole ministry and to the whole reason why Jesus came as Messiah to the earth. He says, the Son of Man came. This is the only purpose. This is the only reason the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Wow. That's people like me. You know, you should be going, yeah, that's good. People like you too, right? The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Thank you, God. Story today, you know, I remember as a kid, we'd sing that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Do you remember that? I think Zacchaeus wouldn't probably like that song very much. Wee little men do not like people singing about wee little men. And that's sort of the story of Zacchaeus. We've got this guy who's short in stature. In fact, you know, he must have been so short that he couldn't see past the people. He couldn't see past the crowd. And he wasn't a guy that was particularly liked either. So he had a lot of things going against him. He would not be one of the first guys picked for basketball. And it's not just because, you know, he was short, but he also had the last name Zacchaeus, which is the last name in the alphabet. So if the teacher decided to go by the alphabet, he still, you know, didn't get picked, right? Zacchaeus had a lot of things going against him, and people didn't like him. He was a tax collector, which really what that was, is there was like a poll, like a poll booth, a toll booth, I should say, on the roads in those days. His toll booth, he probably had a number of them because he was a chief tax collector. And so he had these toll booths along the road by Jericho, and if people walked by, they had to put money in. And he was collecting taxes for the Roman government. So people saw him really as a traitor. They saw him as not one of us. They saw him as someone who was working for the Romans, and the Romans were hated because they occupied Palestine. All right? So he was not popular. He was not liked. He was short. He had the last name in the alphabet. This was Zacchaeus. And yeah, you know what? There's something amazing about this guy, something that we could all learn from. And that's that he wanted to see Jesus. You know, say what you want about Zacchaeus. And he probably had a lot of strikes going against him. But the one thing that he had that I think a lot of people don't have is he just really wanted to see Jesus. And let's get this straight, that the beginning of faith, the initiation, the start of faith is really this. The initiation, the beginning of faith is when we say, I just want to see Jesus. And so we give him credit for that because Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus and he was willing to do the extraordinary. He's willing to do whatever it took on his part to see Jesus. Even if it meant looking like a fool and climbing up a sycamore tree, he wanted to see Jesus. And he was intent on doing that. And that's the beginning of faith. The beginning of faith is saying, I want to see Jesus. There's a lot of people, at least in my experience, who aren't even there yet. A lot of people in the world, you know, they don't want to see Jesus. That's really the truth. They don't want to see Jesus. Their eyes are filled with all kinds of other things. There's lots of other distractions. They want to get rich, maybe. Or they want to be popular or famous. And there's lots of other things out there, but there's a lot of people, they don't want to see Jesus. They don't want to see Jesus. A lot of people, maybe even a few people here today, just aren't interested in Jesus. And they don't want to deal with Jesus or with the God question. You know, is God real? Is God real? Is there really a Jesus? Most people don't want to ask that question, and they don't want to go down that road, and they don't want an answer to it. They just want to keep living the life they're living, and don't bug me. Don't bug me with that question. You know, and we ask them, you know, what do you think about Jesus? Do you want Jesus in your heart? Would you like Jesus in your life? And they go, you know what? I'm busy. I'm doing this. I'm on this road. Don't ask those questions. Don't ask that question of me. So at least Zacchaeus. Hi, Doug. I just want to say I'm so glad you're here. It's been a long time. I'm glad to see you back to health. I was seeing that. I was thinking that earlier. I know I'm just interrupting myself, but I want you to know. It's good to see you, Doug. So where was I? Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, right? It's the beginning of faith. It's the beginning of faith. And I want to give you a promise today. No, I'm not going to start. The promise will come later. First of all, I want to back up and say, I lost my place, is that there's always going to be a hindrance. And that's the thing about Zacchaeus. The story about this short little guy, maybe he was 4 feet tall. We don't know how tall he was. The story about Zacchaeus is that there's always something in the way of Jesus, right? As part of the truth of this passage of Scripture, there's always something that's going to get in the way. There's always either somebody or something that will try to keep you, and I emphasize the word try, going to try to keep you from the arms of Jesus Christ. Always something, right? Zacchaeus was short, so he couldn't see Jesus. And he had other things going against him. He had other hindrances or obstacles. He had the crowd, and the crowd wasn't probably helping him. There wasn't anybody saying, oh, come on, Zacchaeus, why don't you get to the front of the line? No one was saying that because they didn't like him. So they could care less about old Zach. You know, you stay in the back, right? He had a lot of things going against him. There's always going to be, listen to me, there's always going to be something that's going to try to stop you or someone who's going to stop you from Jesus, from seeing him, from really having that relationship and that eye contact with the Savior of your soul. There'll be something or someone that'll do everything they can to keep you from Jesus. Sometimes, it's just the stuff that's even in us. You know, what will my friends think? What will my friends think? If I become a Christian, right? What will they say of me, those friends, you know? I don't want to become a Christian. I don't want to know Jesus. I don't want to see him. Because if I do, then I don't know what they're going to think of me. So that's an obstacle, right? That can be a real hindrance in a lot of people's lives. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is we have our own shortnesses. Zacchaeus was physically short, but sometimes we have our own reasons why we don't see Jesus. Self-pity. I use that as an example because it just seems like I run into it all the time. Sometimes in my own life, sometimes when I do my own, you know, examination of my own heart, we get feeling sorry for ourselves. I think that people do that too when it comes to seeing Jesus Christ, and they start feeling sorry for themselves and they go, oh, it won't work for me anyways. No, I mean, nothing ever happens. Nothing ever works in my life. No one really loves me. I can't trust anybody. So why would Jesus be any different? We feel sorry for ourselves. That self-pity. And sometimes that self-pity keeps us from seeing who Jesus really is. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes hurt can keep us from Jesus. The hurts in our past keep us short, or we fall short because we've been hurt in our past. Sometimes, especially by the church, I've talked to lots of people. They go, "I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I know what you Christians are like. I've had my run-ins with you Christians. I hired a Christian once. You know, he was supposed to do my deck. He ripped me off. You know, you Christians, I don't want to be a Christian. You know, or we've been hurt by the church. We've been hurt by a priest. We've been hurt by religion in the past. Sometimes we don't really come now to see Jesus because of all that stuff that's happened before. Yes, Fabian. How do you let that go? Yeah, that's a good question. You've been dealing with it? I know you have. Because you've been hurt. Like, and you're not alone. Like, there's a lot of people have been hurt a lot. And I'll tell you how you let it go. First of all, you got to recognize that whoever that was that hurt you wasn't Jesus. There's a lot of people who say they're Christians, and it's exactly what someone said earlier. You know, they're going to stand before the Lord one day, and they're going to fully expect to get into heaven, and Jesus is going to say, you know, I didn't even know who you were, even though you did all these amazing things, and you said you were wonderful. So first of all, you need to understand that's not Christ. Let me give you a story. About 20 years ago, I had an appendix taken out, and I had a real quack doctor do it. And everyone in the hospital, when I told them who the doctor was, and I won't say his name out loud, they all went, oh, no, you got him? And I ended up having a really bad infection. I was in the hospital for a month, and I had this same doctor, he would use stuff called silver oxide, I believe that's what it was called, to try to cauterize the wound, and he did it without any kind of anesthetic. And finally, I was just screaming. It was the most painful thing. I had this big gaping hole in my side. Finally, the nurse stopped him. I had a great nurse. She said, that's it, no more. You may not touch this guy again. I'm going to report you. And he never touched me again, and I got another doctor. And my point is this, I still go to the doctors today. I had a bad experience. I had a doctor who was a quack and who did a lot of pain and hurt me. But I still go to doctors, and I still trust people. And, you know, in the same way, I think we got to trust God. Even though sometimes people who take the name of Christ on are really bad examples, they're not Jesus. And all I can tell you, Feb, is that God really loves you. He really does. And there's a lot, every one of us, and I've let you down, right? I mean, we've been good friends for quite a while. I think we've had a good relationship. But we're all going to let each other down because we're sinful. And we fall short of the glory of God. And that is why this is always about Jesus. Always. And so we got to come to him. You ask the question, well, how do I get past this? You got to do it with Jesus' help. You need to pray to him and ask him to take. And again, you know, this whole service is coming together as if someone orchestrates this. You know, the whole idea that you need to forgive even if you don't feel like it. And even if all you do is you let go of it. You let go of it. You let God deal with it. Let God take care of whoever it is that did that damage to you. But it's a point, right? The point is that there's always something that keeps us from God if we let it. And those are important words. If we let it, if we let that have control of us, if we let that enemy, if we let Satan continue to whisper in our ear, you're hurt, or you should feel sorry for yourself, you should be angry at the church, or any number of those things. If we keep listening to that voice, then we're going to stay in the rut that we are in. And if Zacchaeus, if he would have listened to all the people around him, if he would have just listened to the voices that said, he's just a sinner. Remember, that's what they said to him. They didn't even call him Zacchaeus. They said, oh, he's hanging out with this sinner. You know, if Zacchaeus would have listened to what people thought of him, he would never have sought Jesus out. And what Zacchaeus did is he climbed the tree. And maybe that seems like it's just a little thing, just climbing a tree. But the point is, we got to do something. And that's an act of faith. And it doesn't matter what happened to you in the past. It really doesn't. You need to climb the tree. You need to do something to respond to this Jesus who's coming. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming down the road. And you get an opportunity. You have an opportunity to meet with him. You have an opportunity to see him and to see the amazing glory of God. Isn't that something? You do. But you've got to do something. That's where faith comes in. You've got to climb a tree. Or maybe you've got to come to church. Some of you are here today. Well, you're all here today, actually. One of the more profound things I've said, right? But we're here today because you're you want to see something. You know that there's something missing in your life, or you want to see Jesus. You want to recognize the glory of God in more of its radiance and more of its power. You're doing the right thing. You know, we got to get together. We need to worship. We need to praise God. We need to get into His Word. You know, what does it mean to climb the tree? Get into the Word of God. You want to know what truth is? Don't listen to me. I mean, listen to me, but check it out. Right? Check it out. The Word of God is right here. If you don't have a Bible, I know Don's got Bibles because he says it all the time, or there's Bibles somewhere. Get into the Word of God. You want to know how to climb that tree so that you can see Jesus? Then look where He says to look. Look in the Word of God. And pray. Pray. It's amazing. It is amazing what prayer can do. I could give you story after story in my own life, in my healing with my wife, in my restored relationship with my sons. I can give you story after story of how prayers, listen to this, how prayers were answered, even though there's so many people that didn't even want those prayers answered in my life. But that God was faithful. God was faithful, and that He answered those prayers, and He brought restoration where people said there'll never be restoration. God said, no, you don't know me. You don't understand that I am a God of restoration. I'm a God of healing. I'm a God, I'm a Jesus who wants to see you. And one day I will meet with you. And that's the cool thing about this story. And here's the promise. The promise is that when you seek God, and it does not matter who you are or how bad you've been or how much you've stolen like Zacchaeus or how unpopular you are, one day, Jesus is going to be standing underneath your tree. One day, He's going to look up and He's going to say, come on down. I'm ready for you. Right? Here's the promise. The promise is that if you will seek God with all of your heart, you'll find Him. That is an absolute truth. It's as true as gravity or any other universal truth that there is. If you will seek me, He says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that anyone who comes to the Lord must first of all believe that He exists. And that, how's the rest of it go? And that he will reward those who diligently seek Him. Sorry, thank you. So say it again, that you must first of all know that He exists and know that He will reward those who diligently seek Him, right? And there's another actually way of translating that says He will diligently reward those who diligently seek Him. And I like that, right? You seek Him hard, He'll reward you hard. He will reward those who seek Him. So here's the promise. The promise is, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to see Jesus, then you need to step out in faith. You may need to climb onto a branch even, whatever that branch is in your life, to see Him. But if you do that, Jesus is a God who reveals Himself. He's a God who wants to be known. Isn't that something? Jesus doesn't just, walk on by. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. No, Jesus stops under the tree because Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was ready, right? Jesus knew that Zacchaeus' heart was ready to be responsive, that Zacchaeus was ready to receive Him. He knew long before that Zacchaeus was going to climb that tree. And he came to that place and he looked up and he said, okay, Zac, it's time. Get your little legs down here because I'm going to your house. We're going to get more into that next week, but I'm going to your house. And isn't that an amazing thought that Jesus wants to come to the core of where we actually live, the core of our being. He really wants to be where we really are. Wow. So know this today. If you seek Him, you can't help but find Him. I kind of grew up with this idea that God was long, far. I grew up in this very traditional church that God was a scary guy. Like I didn't like being in church. Everyone looked like they were either mad or we were at a funeral or I don't know. It was just very quiet. I wasn't allowed to make any noise. And I thought God was a long ways away. That's kind of, when I was a kid, I had that idea. God's a long ways away. And if he ever comes, if he ever shows up in this church, we're in big trouble. Because he's mad at us. God is mad at us. To the third and the fourth generation, he's mad at us, you know. But the truth is that that's not the God of the truth. He's not the God of the scriptures. This is the God who instead says, I want to come to your house. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. That's who God really is. He's a God who says, I will stop right in the middle of my journey. I will never be in too big of a rush for you. I won't pass by. I won't ignore you. I won't say, you know what, I'd like to talk, but I can't right now. God will never do that. Isn't that great? He will never do that. Instead, he says, I need to see you. Not just need, I must come to Linda's house today. Amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I must come to your house today. I want that kind of a relationship with you. Thank you, God. So lastly, I know I've been kind of all over the map here today, but just lastly, I'm just going to ask you this question today. If Jesus was standing under your tree this morning, and he is, by the way, if Jesus was standing under your tree and he looked up, what would he say to you? Not just, I want to come to your house. But what? This is a Jesus who has a conversation with us. What would he say to you? What would he have you hear? Maybe it'd be things like, don't quit. Right? Maybe he looks up Dave and he goes, don't give up, man. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep on going, man. Keep on going. Or maybe he says to some of us, stop the pettiness. Quit it. Enough of that. Grow up. Get off the milk and get into the meat of my word. Maybe that's the word. Or maybe he says, I don't want you to be afraid anymore. I know you're afraid. I know your heart. I know what you're afraid of. I know about your mom. I know about your addiction. Listen to me. Don't be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid anymore. Because I'm your God. I'm your Jesus. Or maybe, and I could go on all day, maybe he stands underneath your tree and he just looks up at you and he goes, Joya, I love you. Joya, I love you. Come on down. Come on down. Because I love you so much. And I know the grief. And I know the hurt. And I know the disappointment in your life. Yeah. But I'm your God. I am your Jesus. So come on down. My arms are open. Amen? I'm going to believe today that there might be some of us that, you know, we're just hearing God speak, maybe just a word, just saying it's going to be all right. You know, you may be afraid that this isn't going to carry on, that the goodness and the joy, that this might not last. He says, Tim, Barb, it's going to be okay because I'm your God. I really am. I am. I'm your God. Maybe it's money, you know. And he looks up, he says, quit worrying about it. I'll provide for you. That doesn't mean you get to go ahead and get more credit cards, but I will take care of your needs, I promise it. I don't know. I don't know what God's saying to you. I hope you're hearing him, though, because I do know this, that God, that our Jesus, that my Jesus, that he's speaking right now. He's speaking about worry and about the future. He's speaking about the past and about brokenness and pain. He's speaking about regret. He's speaking about all of it. And I'm just going to suggest and ask today that if that's true for you, you know God's saying something to you. It could be about fear, it could be about anger, it could be about unforgiveness, by the way. That was awesome today, too. Someone you need to forgive, then we're going to end the service in this way. Cody's going to come up. She's going to sing a song. I don't know, and she doesn't even know what song it is yet. Doesn't matter. But I want to ask you to come forward. You know, if God is speaking to you, if you know that today Jesus, let me put it this way, Jesus is standing under your tree. Why don't you come on up and let's give this to God. And let's not just leave this place, but let's leave this place in freedom and in victory. Is there anyone who wants to join me? Then now's the time to come. Amen. Come on under here. Otherwise, I'm not so alone. Come to Jesus. It's okay. It's all right. Come to Jesus. Amen. Hey, Rolf. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is speaking. He's saying something that you need to hear today. Amen? Yeah, he's the Lord. He's the God who heals you, he says. Thank you, God. Don't be shy. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Just come to God. There you go. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray, and while I'm praying, I invite you to keep coming, okay? You're going to be thinking about this for 5 minutes, and you're going to be wondering, should I come, should I not come? You come while we pray. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of my Savior, our Savior, in the name of the risen Lord, the victorious King, we stand before you. We stand before you as your children, as your sons and daughters, and you are reminding us today. You're speaking into our hearts today. That we no longer need to be ashamed. There's someone here today that needs to hear that message. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to walk in guilt. Because I've taken it for you. And you don't need to be self-righteous. It's time for that to stop. It's time for you to stop thinking that you're taller than the other people around you. Because you are not. You're still short. You're all short. And that's what God would say. We hear that, God. And we respond to that, God. And Lord, I am sorry. And we're sorry here who, those of us who relate to that, we're sorry for the times we've judged others and we thought ourselves to be better and taller and bigger and more important in our eyes than what we really are. We can't be more important. We're loved by you. And Lord, for the one who's afraid, just take the fear away. For the one who's lonely and she's feeling sorry for herself and feeling like, man, I'm going to be alone all my life. Just wrap your arms around her, Jesus, and let her know, God, that, wow, you're just so in love with her and you will be everything that she needs in her life. Thank you, God. Lord, today, whatever your message is, whatever you would say to us as you look up at us in the tree, we receive it from you, Jesus. And lastly, God, maybe even more importantly, Jesus, is that every one of us today hears you say this. It's time to... You can get down from that tree. You can get down right now. And come to me right now. Amen.
I want to see your face. I want to know you, Lord. I want to touch you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know
you.
I want to see your face.
But there's just one thing I want to say, that, oh, there's a couple things. Just know this today, that God really loves you. And that He came for that reason. He came to show you His amazing love and how deep that love goes for you. The second thing, just so you know, is next Sunday in the afternoon at around 5 o'clock, next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, Crystal and I are inviting you for a barbecue to our place. So come on over. Let's have some fellowship. If you don't know a lot of people here, it's a good way to get to know them. Next week, we'll give you a little more information about how to get there. And just bring a salad or bring a dessert. We'll provide the hot dogs. The hamburgers. Okay? I hope you'll all come. Remember that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen? I want to know you. I want to know you. Yes, God. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more.
Heavens are your temple. early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. And when I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The Lord of heaven and earth.